there's a movie with a guy and a girl character, and the guy has a crush on the girl. And he's been trying to pursue her the whole movie, and she doesn't have feelings for him. And there comes a point that he finally has the courage to just ask her. And so he says, I just want to know, what are the odds? And he's bum-fuzzled and he's nervous and it doesn't come out right. But he says, what are the odds that a guy like you and a girl like me could ever, could ever one day be together? And well, she doesn't know what to say. She doesn't know how to, say no. And she's not saying anything. And he says, come on, just level with me. I can take it. Just level with me. But, what are the odds? And she finally says, well, not good. And he says, well, not good, like 1 out of 100? And she pauses and she says, more like 1 out of 1,000,000. And he pauses and then he gets this big grin on his face and he says, so you're saying there's a chance. Turning your Bibles to Colossians 1:15. I'm going to share some things with you that scientists and our brightest minds in our world have discovered about our universe. We live in an interesting time. And I'll confess there was a time that I, space exploration and the man on the moon and the space shuttle. I grew up during the space shuttle era. And I thought NASA was really a waste of money. I mean, why are we putting all this money? Why would we give money to space exploration? I've changed my mind on that. Not because of how it's benefited us in ways that those promoting those programs would claim, but I love the fact that we now know how amazing our universe is, much more than we ever knew before. And I want to share some of that with you. So stay with me today. Some of it may get a little confusing, and that's okay. That's part of it. But I think it's important that we understand how big our God is. So we're going to look today a little more about how big He is. Colossians 1:15 says, He is the image of the invisible God. This is Jesus, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. You ever heard of dark matter? Scientists are now just falling over themselves trying to understand dark matter. There's a matter that's opposite of gravity. It's not pulling, it's pushing. Dark matter. Can't see it. Don't know much at all about it. A lot of theories. Visible and invisible. I love the fact that the smarter we get, when I say smarter, the more knowledgeable we get as humans. We open this Bible, guess what? It's been talking to us the whole time. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Talk a little bit about our Earth. It's an amazing planet. Of course, we know a little bit about our solar system. Going back to your days in school when you had to learn about these things, this is just kind of the sequence of our planets orbiting the sun. It's not really where they are, but it's where we are in relation to the others. There's Earth. There's our little moon. The distance between the Earth and our moon doesn't seem like much. We've put a man on the moon. But in that distance, you could put the rest of the planets in our solar system. Pretty good distance. Difference between our Earth and our sun. Our sun's big. Right? The number of stars in the universe estimated to be much more than grains of sand on Earth. Go to a beach, try to count the grains of sand. I count them on the whole planet. More stars in the universe than that. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Our sun is small compared to some suns in the universe. Canis Majoris is a sun that we've discovered. It's said that it is a billion times bigger than our sun. That's hard for me to imagine, but if you shrink that down, if you shrink our sun down, let me back up, the size of our sun, shrink it down to the size of a white blood cell. That's what's on the left. Looks like a white ball of yarn. That's under a microscope, a white blood cell. Okay, so microscopic. Shrink our sun down to that size. How big is our little galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy? Small compared to many galaxies in the universe, but our little Milky Way would be the size of the United States compared to our sun shrunk down to the size of a white blood cell. I have a hard time getting my mind around that. But suffice it to say, our galaxy is big. Not as big as many, but big. So big, it's hard to get your mind around it. Think about travel. You've traveled, if you've flown before, traveled in a jet. If you've traveled in a jet, or a person could, at 500 miles an hour, that's getting along pretty good. 500 miles an hour in a jet, you could go across the United States in about 4 hours. The speed of light is about 186,000 miles, not per hour, but per second. At the speed of light, you could travel around the Earth, all the way around, 7.5 times in 1 second. Hard for me to understand that. But the speed of light, it's really smoking. It's getting it. Okay? The Milky Way alone is so big, it would take you, this is approximately where we are in the Milky Way, but it would take you 4 years to go to the nearest star in our galaxy at the speed of light. It would take you 100,000 years from Earth to the edge of our galaxy at the speed of light. Super big. Right? It's currently believed. Let me back up for just a second. When you look at the sky at night, if you're out in the country where there's not a lot of city lights, a human could see about 4,500 stars looking up at the sky. You're only able to see a very, very, very small part of our small galaxy when we look at the sky. We're not seeing a whole lot. It looks like a whole lot, but not compared to how big our universe is. It's believed currently that there are over 2 trillion galaxies in our universe. 2 trillion. This is part of what space technology and investment has done for us, and I love this. This is a picture of the universe, a small picture of our universe, but these are galaxies. These aren't stars, they're galaxies. So big, I can't understand it. And that's a small part of the universe. Of course, we can't even see the end of the universe, if there is one. And so when the book of Job, in chapter 11, verse 7, when God spoke to Job and said these words, "Can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty?" I don't know what Job was thinking, but for us now in 2017, with the brightest minds and all the technology we have, well, God, we can't even find the end of your universe, much less find the end of you. Hebrews 1:3, talking about Jesus, says He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Start to get an idea of how big our God is. He does all that just with His words. He upholds it. There are certain constants in the universe. The universe is just right for life to exist on earth. The universe is just right for it to exist as it is. And just right really doesn't get it. It's so just right. And I'll try to touch on that and explain that a little bit. But the universe, not only is it perfect for life, it had to be perfect for life to exist. If certain conditions were just a little bit off, there would be no life. And there's something called the anthropic principle. Anthropic, speaking about man, and a principle for what it would take for us to even be alive. And so I'm going to share a few quotes today. This one's from Paul Davies, an English physicist and professor at Arizona State University. He says, "Scientists are slowly waking up to an inconvenient truth. The universe looks suspiciously like a fix. The issue concerns the very laws of nature themselves. For 40 years, physicists and cosmologists have been quietly collecting examples of all too convenient coincidences and special features in the universe, underlying laws of the universe that seem to be necessary in order for life and hence conscious beings to exist. The more they study about the universe, the more they see how specific, how perfect all these factors would have to be for life to exist. For example, the expansion rate of the universe, if it expanded too fast, it would blow apart. Too slowly, gravity would pull it back and collect on itself. They used to think the universe was expanding and slowing down. Now they see that it's speeding up, some parts at a different rate. It's way more than we thought it was, and it has to be for us to have life. Let me read on. Change any one of them and the consequences would be lethal. Fred Hoyle, the distinguished cosmologist, once said it was as if a super intellect has monkeyed with physics. Part of the reason I think this is important for us to understand is for, you know, the past few generations, we live in now a society that is very much driven by science. When you speak of, well, science says or science proves, basically science is king, folks. And that's the mentality of the world we live in America. Well, there was a time that science was discovering bones, and here we have this theory of evolution, and we're trying to find more evidence for it. The theory of evolution has a lot of flaws. Nevertheless, scientists were clamoring about, look, this shows that we were not created, we've evolved. What's important in looking at the universe is everything in the universe points the opposite direction. Everything in our universe points to God. Okay, and it's important that we know that because we live in an increasing world where our friends and loved ones and neighbors, they're losing faith in God, have no faith in God. Their faith is in man. For example, let me give you an example about an atom. You remember this from science class back in the day? An atom has a nucleus made up of protons and neutrons and electrons revolving around it. The difference in weight, a proton and a neutron are almost exactly the same weight. However, a neutron weighs a smidge more. It weighs 1,000th more. 0.1%. If you had a quarter cup of water and you have another quarter cup and one drop, that's the neutron. First one's the proton. It's not just that, well, you know, they're almost exactly the same weight. The problem is they have to be that way. Otherwise, our universe would have had too much hydrogen and we wouldn't be here, or it'd have too much helium and we wouldn't be here. It had to be precisely that way. And that's amazing. For the universe to have occurred, for the universe to have occurred in a way to support life, it must have maintained an extremely precise overall density. If there were as little as one part in 1,000 trillion different, we would have no life. Try to understand what 1,000 trillion is. It's the number is represented as 10 to the 15th power. You ever see that? 10 with a small number above it. The small number tells you how many zeros to add to a 1, to a digit. So 1 with 15 zeros. That number I can almost comprehend. It's 1,000 trillion. Think of it this way. Lake Keystone. This is a part of Lake Keystone. Take all the water out and fill Lake Keystone with pennies. That's 1,000 trillion pennies. And then throw one dime in there and have your friend blindfolded and pull out one penny. That's 1 in 10 to the 15th power. And that's one part of what our universe had to be for it to exist. So to say that that's like impossible odds. If someone told you you have 1 in 100 odds of winning whatever, you wouldn't feel very good. 1 in 100 is not very good. 1 in 1,000? I mean, 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000 feels like a guarantee compared to 1 in 1,000 trillion. It's hard to imagine. Incidentally, the odds of finding 1 grain of sand in all the earth while blindfolded is 1 in 10 to the 20th. So 1 with 20 zeros. There are a number of things. These are. I'll just give you 4. Number of things about our universe that have to be so perfectly fine-tuned. Okay, so the ratio of electrons to protons, not the electrons to protons, 1 × 10^37 power is how precise this ratio has to be in our universe. So that's beyond the grains of sand. Incidentally, when the small number, I know some of your eyes are glazing over. Hang with me. Stay with me. We're getting close. When the small number increases, so 37 to 40, you see that in the top two lines? It's not 3 times more. It's 30 times more. And so times and times and times and times, it quickly gets ridiculous, would be a fair word to use. Okay? So the ratio of electromagnetic force to gravity is so precise, had to be. Expansion rate of the universe, 1 × 10^55. Mass density of the universe, 1 × 10^59. Incidentally, to understand how big these numbers are, the number of atoms in our universe is estimated to be 10 to the 70th power, number of atoms in our universe. So let me try to summarize this. To look at our universe and take all of those things that scientists now believe and say, you know, for all these things to be true, and they had to be just this way for the universe to provide for life on Earth, without a God, by the way. The number, the odds of that, when you calculate it all, is such a large number. The number is 10^10^123. So now we have a number of zeros on this number that's so large we don't have enough atoms in the universe to write. You could try to write the big number. You could write it, just add zeros. Day and night, you don't eat, go to the bathroom, anything. Day and night, for the rest of your life, you couldn't even write the number out on paper, much less understand it. Incidentally, 1 × 10^50 by mathematicians is considered impossible. Ain't happening. Right? So you stop for a minute and think, God desires that man believe in Him. True? Well, what if God made the universe in such a way that it really looked like, hey, a supernatural being had to make this thing? I think God would do that. I think God has done that to the extent it is beyond ridiculous. It's not just, you know, 1 in 1,000,000, so you're saying there's a chance? Oh, no. It's beyond comprehending how unlikely our universe could be. Stephen Hawking once said, "The remarkable fact is that the values of these numbers seem to have been very finely adjusted to make possible the development of life." That has got to be the understatement of the millennium. You think they're finely tuned? Share a couple other things with you. This is an interview of Sandra Faber. She's an astrophysicist, university professor of astronomy at the University of California, Santa Cruz. She's a smart one. She declared, this is an interview on PBS.org. It says, Faber declared that there were only 2 possible explanations for fine-tuning. One is that there is a God. Let's stop there for a minute. That's the logical one. When this thing looks like it is beyond what could happen, it is beyond, not to mention this thing happened by chance, supposedly. It blew up and did all this? Well, this looks like a God. And the God made it that way, she said. But for Faber, an atheist, divine intervention is not the answer. Now notice that small end of that sentence. Notice the wording. I think that's very telling. I think it's telling the order of the two words, atheist and not an answer. If they were switched, and it was, well, from all the discovery, it looks like there is no God, therefore I'm an atheist. That's a little different. But this is, I'm an atheist, and I'm not going to believe that there's a God. Does that make sense? I think there's a tipping of the hand here. But here's the quote from Faber. The only other approach that makes any sense. And so scientists now, when they look at the universe, they say, God behind door number 1. And if it's not God, what's behind door number 2? Well, they'll take it. You say, well, either God made all this or, and many scientists, I would say probably most, are saying, I'll take door number 2. And you say, I haven't even finished explaining what door number 2 would be. Yeah, I'll take it though. Because if it's God, I'll take door number two. And behind door number two is that there is a big ensemble of universes out there, and we're just in one. So here's the multiverse. There are so many universes, that's what it must be. It can't be God. It must be they're just a bajillion, 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 beyond comprehension, infinite universes. And surely one would hit. Eventually, obviously, we're in that one because we're alive. Not to mention what's spitting out all these universes. If it sounds ridiculous, it's because it is. Robert Jastrow, he passed in 08. He was an American astronomer, planetary physicist, a leading NASA scientist. He's a smart guy. Was a smart guy. A self-proclaimed agnostic, which means he's not sure if there is God or not. He says, "For the scientists who live by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries." A theologian is one who studies theology, God, supernatural, spirituality. Scripture says, Acts 17, "He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him." God has given us everything from a caveman who could see a sunrise or a sunset or see fire and say there has to be a God, to 2017 when we can look at the universe and can't even imagine how big it is. Everything points to there being a God. I want to share with you quickly one counter argument. You know, I hear a few arguments against the anthropic principle, which basically says, hey, this is beyond, this could have happened, there has to be a God. And so arguments against, I'll just give you one. And we need to be aware. One is, someone says, okay, a person hits a golf ball and the golf ball lands in the fairway, and you go and you inspect the golf ball exactly where it landed. And you say, look, it's amazing, you know, this imprint that it's made and the blades of grass, just look how they're laying against it. This one spot, just as it's laying here, so unique. What are the odds that that golf ball would have landed just like that? And they say, you know, that's us. Yeah, the universe is complex, but okay, it's unique, and that's how we are. The problem with that analogy is the universe has to be this way for life to exist. It's not just that it's unique. Same thing with someone saying you are the product of a sperm and an egg, and one sperm out of many, many, and one egg out of many, many from your two parents. Look how unique that is. What are the odds that you would be, you know, this one and this one and just as unique as you are? Here's the difference. It could have been a different sperm and egg. The golf ball could have landed in a different place. Our universe could not do that. It has to be that you have one shot. Go pick up one coin out of Lake Keystone. And those are much greater odds than our universe. The conclusion is, one scripture to leave us with is Nehemiah 9:6. The conclusion is, our God is amazing. I hope you already knew that. Our God is big. I hope you already knew that. But our God is bigger than we knew. Isn't He? He's bigger than we knew. And scientists are doing us a favor by showing us just how much bigger He is. Nehemiah 9:6, "You are the Lord. You alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them. And the host of heaven worships you." Our God is big enough to take care of this universe. If your life is good right now, you need to praise God because He's the reason. Amen. If your life is a struggle right now, you need to praise God because He's just as good in the storm as He is when life is good. Amen. He's always good. He's always capable. We need Him at all times. And remember, if God is big enough to take care of the universe, He's big enough to take care of my problems. Amen. He's big enough to take care of your problems, isn't He? We're going to sing a song, "Unto Thee, O Lord." If you have a need this morning, there's something on your heart, something you'd like for us to pray for you about, if there's something we can do for you, if there's someone here this morning that you haven't given your life to Christ, we'd love to help you with that. If there's anything you need, let's praise God together. And if you would, come while we stand and sing.
Unto Thee, O Lord, You have lifted up my soul.
Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies try.